Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Acharei Mot. This week, Rabbi James Jacobson Mizels discusses Acharei Mot. Rabbi James Jacobson Mizels is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi James Jacobson Mizels.
This week, we'll be looking at a text from Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk in his work Pri Aretz, which is a series of teachings from the land of Israel. Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk led a Hasidic aliyah to Israel, a pre-Zionist aliyah. And him and his followers came and lived in Israel, and indeed continue on till this day. And he wrote a work, Pri Aretz, which contains teachings and letters and other material sent from Israel back to his followers in Europe. And it teaches the following: Patachara Psuk Acharei Mot Shnei Bnei Aaron, Kirvatam Lifnei Hashem. It begins with the opening pasuk of our parsha. After the death of the two sons of Aaron, who came close to God, before God, who approached God, as we know, with a strange fire, and died. And he continues a little bit later. V'amar Nyan al Derech Ma'amar Akiva ben Mahalalel. And he says that the matter is as in the teaching of Akavia, sorry, Larry, go back. Scratch it again. V'amar hainyan al derech mamar Akavia ben Mahalalel. And he said the matter is as Akavia ben Mahalalel teaches in Pirkei Avot. Histakel b'shlosha dvarim v'yatah b'lidei avira. Look at three things, gaze at three things, contemplate three things, and you will not come to sin. Da me'ayin bata v'chulei. Which says, the full teaching continues, know where you came from, v'la'an, where are you going, and before whom you're going to give din v'cheshbon, before whom you're going to give the final accounting and reckoning. So in Pirkei Avot, there's a fairly simple, straightforward statement, which is, know where you came from, know where you're going, and know who you're going to be given accounting, and that will give you this sense of really your own mortality, your own presence in the world, the preciousness of this human life, and therefore the desire not to sin. V'adar piresh, and he continued and explained, that is, the Pirkei Avot continues and goes back and then explains its own statement. Mayin bata metipas rucha, where did you come from? From a fetid drop, v'chule, etc. And the teaching continues in Pirkei Avot. And where are you going? To a place of dust and worm and maggots. And for whom are you destined to give an account and a reckoning? Before the King of Kings, the Holy One, blessed be He. That is, the Pirkei Avot continues and reminds us of our smallness, of our humility, of our sort of just nothingness in the midst of the vastness of the universe, the vastness of the divine. That somehow this awareness of our nothingness is going to stop us from sinning. The question is how and what does that mean? So then he continues that a little bit later in the teaching, and he says this about Akavia ben Mahalalel. I'll bring you another quotation concerning him from Ediot. Shinei Akavia ben Mahalalel, Amar Razal, the sages said about Akavia ben Mahalalel, She'ein Ezra nin Elip Yisrael kamoto b'chokhma v'yirat chet. That the temple court, the area in the temple, was never closed in the face of anyone in Israel who was like him, who was equal to him in wisdom and in fear of sin. Shehine inyan yirat chet hua yira mina chet atzmo yoter mina ona shaba avoro. Because what is fear of sin? Fear of sin is fear actually of the sin itself. That is, what we're scared of, what we're worried about, is the very fact of acting improperly, of doing damage, of harming ourselves or others, not whatever consequence may come, whether that's at the hands of heaven, or the police, or karma, or somebody getting angry at us. What we're concerned about is not the disapproval and not the result, but what we're concerned about is what does acting in this way do to us and do to others? This was the quality of Akavia ben Mahalalel. And this is somehow all connected to this notion of death. Now, I'll mention one thing on the side, which is important. The idea of him being excluded from the sort of temple precincts is really a question of being excommunicated. And this comes up because you can see that there's a longer teaching exerting Akavia ben Mahalalel that he was placed in excommunication or tried to excommunicate him. And this line we just quoted sort of denies the claim that excommunication can happen. And we won't get into all the details, but what's crucial here is that Kavi ben Hallel was deeply committed to what he saw as truth. And he taught certain things, which he thought were true, which was in disagreement with the other sages. They said, withdraw these things, and we'll make you the Av Beit Din. And he said to them, no, better that I be called a fool my whole life, that I should even for 1 minute, for 1 moment, 1 hour, be wicked in the sight of God, right? I'm not going to withdraw my opinion in order to get power, in order to get approval. This is the truth, and I'm sticking by the truth. And this is connected to the Vitebsker's understanding of fear of sin being as fear of not acting in a way which is true, which is truthful. It's not about appearances. It's not about what the results are or how people are going to see me. It's about who I truly am. And then he continues and describes in a deeper way what he thinks the meaning of both the passage from Avot and our verse from the Torah is talking about. Humina tzimtzum nitchadesh devar me'ata. And from Tzimtzum, this Lurianic idea of the contraction in the divine, which created an empty space in the midst of divinity into which the world could be created, this Lurianic myth of creation from Lurianic Kabbalah, he says, with this principle of contraction in order for creation to happen, every kind of creation was established in a new way, a new kind of principle came into being. Every kind of new coming into being would be in a certain way. And how would it be? It would be like a plant growing from a seed, or like a chick growing from an egg. And what's the quality of this kind of creation, this kind of birth? She'if shalat chil hitkadshut. Ha'hishtanut mitzura rishona lachadasha ad shetifsad zura rishona v'telech la mikol. The principle is that it's impossible to begin any kind of new creation, any kind of transformation from one form, from the first form to a new form, until the first form has lost itself, has lost its form, until it has gone, it is dissolved. V'kar she'agarin muchrach liot tchila. And the principle is that the seed has to be, first of all, completely destroyed and lost, and so too the egg. That is what happens with the seed in the soil, at least according to this metaphor, this understanding. You put the seed in the soil, and then the seed actually gets destroyed. The seed breaks apart, the seed dissolves, the seed melts into the soil. And from that melting and dissolution arises a new creation, arises a new way of being. V'charkach al sheirot chomer ha'yuli she'efshar lishtanot chal alav tzura chadasha b'briyat ha'efroach v'atzmicha. And afterwards, on what remains of this hylic matter, and we'll go back and explain that in a minute, there comes the transformation. The transformation happens upon this hylic matter, which is a new form, a new creation of the chick or of the plant. So hylic matter is actually an Aristotelian concept. It's the fundamental unformed matter out of which the universe is created. And from Aristotelian thought comes into Jewish thought in the Middle Ages and into Kabbalistic and Hasidic thought. And it's crucial because, as we'll see in the continuation of this next sentence, Ubasha'asha Davar Batel, Mishneatzarot, Nikra Ayin. And at the moment when the thing is annihilated from both forms, that is, it has lost the first form, and the seed has dissolved, and it has not yet become the second form, it has not yet grown into the plant, it is called nothingness. Shu'in yana tzimtzum, which is the matter of the contraction, that is, the contraction is understood as the pulling away to create nothingness, to create space, because only in nothingness, in space, in the loss of what was before, can new creation come into being. And returning us now already, although we'll return to this more explicitly, to our opening line, that is, it is only death which makes possible life, Vitebsker is saying here. It's only annihilation which makes possible creation. It is only losing that which we were which makes possible the coming into being of that which we will be. Which is what, he says? Shehi ha-chokhmah, which is actually wisdom. Chokhmah me'ayin tinza. As it says in Iyov, literally, where will you find wisdom? But in a hyper-literal reading of me'ayin, which literally means from where, whence, they read it as from ayin, from nothingness. Wisdom comes from nothingness. K'tchilat seder habriya, like the beginning of the process, the order of creation. Because there is no possible for any kind of new revelation, new beginnings, if one does not first return to nothingness. As it explained in another place. That a person can only have transformations and miracles. And really here, you know, the sense of miracles is sort of the miracle of transformation. What happens, the miraculous way in which human beings really can become other sometimes, can let go of who they were, can leave behind deeply harmful patterns, can recover from deeply harmful ways of being, and become something anew. That this miracle only comes through humility, through annihilation, and through nothingness, which itself is wisdom. That is, what does wisdom lead us to? Wisdom leads us to nothingness itself. This teaching of the nature of transformation is crucial in Vitebsker, and indeed crucial in Hasidic thought in general. That in order to truly become something else, we have to let go of who we are. And indeed, it's one of the scariest things about transformation. That in order to become what we know we want to become, to be who we know we want to be, it requires us to abandon who we are. Yet, who we are is safe and familiar. Who we are is all these patterns and ways of being in the world and ways of operating the world that we've developed because in some way they've worked for us. They've made us feel safe and secure. They've made us be successful. They've made us achieve what we wanted to achieve. And yet, when we want to change, we've come to some kind of realization that in some way those ways of being are no longer serving us. They're not actually right. We develop them often as children. They were often the best we could do in whatever situation we were in. But they're not the truth anymore of who we want to be, of who we need to be. And yet they're all we know. They're all we know. And we desperately hang on to them because it's terrifying to let go. It's terrifying to let go of that person who I thought I was. That sense of myself, that sense of my identity, that sense of that job, that sense of that relationship, that sense of just how I present myself to the world, to risk presenting myself in another totally radical, new and different way, can be deeply frightening. Because all of a sudden we don't know who we are. We don't know how to respond. We don't know what to rely on. There is a radical openness and a deep sense of not knowing, which is uncomfortable. We want to know, we want to be clear, we want to be certain. There is a groundlessness, an emptiness, which is terrifying but also liberating. It is our openness, our infinitude, our freedom. And it is, the Vitebsker is saying, our deep wisdom. That is, our wisdom is that we really genuinely see that it doesn't help us to be locked in our current patterns. It doesn't help us to be locked in our current ways of being, in our stress, in our striving, in our hurting ourselves and others at times, in small ways, in big ways, in our losing our temper, in our feelings of shame, in our beating ourselves or others up. Our wisdom knows that these ways are not the healthiest ways of being in the world, that these ways are in some way an avera, a passing over, a crossing over, whatever line is the line of what it means to be ourselves most genuinely. And we fear them, as Akavya bin Mahalalel did, right? We fear that fear of sin because we see what it does to us. We see what it makes us become. We see how those ways of operating impact ourselves and the world. And the Vitebsker is saying that if we want to transform, we have to somehow touch a place which is beyond those standard ways of operating, which is beyond our assumptions, which is radically open, which is radically free, which is extraordinary. For those of us who've done various kinds of spiritual practice, maybe we've touched it somewhere in there, that sense of sort of that shocking sense of letting go of who we thought we were and the emerging of someone new. For those of us who've had experiences in life which have brought us up short, we may have experienced it there in the death or loss of a loved one, in a sudden dramatic transition or crisis in our life, or just being struck for a moment in the awesomeness, the beauty of a mountain, the awesomeness and beauty of birth, the awesomeness and beauty of really any moment, that can sometimes free us from the patterns we've been trapped in and enable stepping forward into a new way of being. But it takes the willingness to fall apart. And that, I think, is what is so beautiful and powerful in this metaphor. It requires us to become like a seed. We have to be willing to dissolve, which we are so unwilling to do because it feels so incredibly unsafe and uncertain. And indeed, it is uncertain. If we're really willing to dissolve, we don't know what's going to come next. If we're trying to control what's going to come next, then we're not really dissolving. So it requires us to be willing to genuinely let go, to genuinely release. And in that deep release, to find what is true, to find what is next, to find that which is genuinely new, to exit from our habitual patterns and our habitual ways of being in the world. And he continues near the end of his teaching, "V'zeu achrei mot shnei bnei Aaron." And this is the meaning of after the death of the two sons of Aaron. "Shekol shinui hamitut hem bnei Aaron." That is, shinui, which comes from the word shnei, he's making a play on words. He reads two as change. And mot, again, as the death, as death. Right? So the change which comes from death are the two sons of Aaron. What are the two sons of Aaron? Well, the two sons of Aaron, Kabbalistically, are chesed. B'kirbatam l'tnei Hashem, and they're coming close to God. That is, how is he reading this story? The two sons of Aaron who die are not being killed. They're not being punished. The Davin Avihu have not sinned in coming close to God. What they have done is enabled a radical transformation. And transformation requires death. It requires us to die to who we were before. It requires us to die into each breath, to die into each moment, to sort of deeply, deeply release. We think about the transformation of tshuva, our repentance, of returning to who we are, which requires us to die to who we were. If we think about the transformation, the deep transformation of slicha, of forgiveness, which requires us to die, to let go of our resentment, of our anger, in order to be held in the repairing nature, the love, the connection, the closeness of forgiveness. This then for the Vitebsker is the teaching of Achrei Mot. That is, just literally in those first two words, the name of our parsha, after death. What comes after death? What comes after death is rebirth. And if we want to be reborn in our lives, if we want to change who we are, if we want to transform who we are, we have to be willing to die. We have to be willing to really, really let go. We have to be willing to stop running away, to stop resisting, to stop hiding, and to die right into the difficulty, to be present right into the places we feel overwhelmed, when we feel caught in blame and anger, when we get caught in jealousy or shame, when we get caught in running away, when we get caught in craving. We have to be willing to die right into it, to feel that fully. And if we're willing to do that, to die into it, to feel it fully, then what the Vitebsker promises and what I would share from my own experience is that there is an intense spaciousness which is then available to us, a room which opens up, a freedom which is present when I'm willing to die into those habitual patterns of my mind and heart, when I'm willing to die to surrender right into the pain, when I'm willing to not resist anymore. When I'm willing to pursue the truth, as Akavya ben Mahalalel does, no matter what the cost is. So we can each ask ourselves, in this parsha, Achrei Mot, after death, just consider what is it that we need to die to in order to become who we really want to be? What is holding us back from letting go in that way? What are we scared of? What are we resisting? And what can we do to support ourselves more deeply in that process of transformation, of dissolution and rebirth? What might allow our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our bodies to truly taste the liberation, which is the becoming nothing and the rebirth out of that nothingness, of the reentry really into the divine womb and a rebirth out of that womb? So may we all be willing to die a little bit this week, to let go of that which needs to be released, and to allow that which needs to be born to be born.
Thank you, Rabbi Jacobson Meisel. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.